Joshua 1 and 8. Real quick, then we'll go to another scripture. What I need to tell you won't take me very long to teach tonight. And I don't know if I'm going to take very long to teach it because I think it's one of those things that's so simple. I told you last time, and I'll say it again, that one of my favorite scriptures now amongst, I don't even know what my favorite scripture is. There's some, I love it all. But one of my favorite scriptures now is that in 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, beware of the serpent, lest he beguile you with his subtleties. And you read in the subtlety, it's real subtle. You know, when something's subtle, it's almost like it's sneaking up on you. You don't even know it's there. That's actually how serpents are. I'll never forget earlier this summer, I was standing, I was back here, and I do some work in another building, and I'm standing on the little road going to the back building, and I'm just standing in the grass, and I'm on the phone. I'm just on the phone, and I'm standing. I know my wife wasn't on the phone. I'm just standing, I'm just kind of looking in the bush, I'm just standing there. And then, you know, I see a snake sitting right here. I'm done. He wasn't no baby. I know we like to exaggerate stories. You know, you go fishing. Then you go fishing, they'll be like, yeah, I caught him, he was that big. He was a 12-foot. It wasn't like that. But he wasn't no little baby. And he's just sitting right there on the ground looking at me. He looking at me. I didn't even see him. Two steps over. Yeah, he'd hit me. Why isn't the Lord protecting me? But it's just the subtlety of him. He knew not to move. He knew to watch me. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I didn't even know I was going just now. Holy Spirit is powerful. Remember when ministering that he's always in control. You want effective ministry? It's not about your notes. God bless your notes. It's not about your notes, though. All right? A little joker right there. And I don't even see him. Well, eventually I do see him. And I act like I shouldn't act out of fear. I said, oh, so I'm going the other way. And I didn't really run. And eventually we took care of the young serpent. But it's just the subtlety. Watch this. I'm going to teach you something about it. It's all going towards your meditation. There's a subtlety. Translation says it's the pitter patter. He'll like drum you. You ever heard the story about the Pied Piper? And the Piper, he played the children away over to where they wasn't supposed to be. And you get entranced. You know, the snake charmers. And you get entranced. Chanting with the pitter patter and the subtlety and the pitter patter of life and the regular way you've been doing things and the regular, boom, 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 this is how you do it. This is your study time. Boom, 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 boom. And you're so caught up with that you miss the simplicity that is in Christ. And you miss everything that Christ is trying to show you. Remember, I said it last week, I'll say it again. You find Jesus, you find the will. You get it? Look for Jesus. Where's Jesus in his word? In your meditation time, look for Jesus. But I'm meditating Psalms. He in there. I'm in the Old Testament. He's in there too. But the subtlety. It's a very simple thing. But sometimes it's also very simple things. That's powerful. Everything that God has for us, the enemy has a counterfeit. But counterfeits look like the real thing. It's not a counterfeit if it looks totally different. You remember he's a deceiver. Y'all know that, right? That's who he is. He's a deceiver and a liar. Now I'm gonna teach you something about your study time, right? And it's gonna revolutionize your. It's gonna change your whole meditation. Listen to me. So God gives us seed. The sword of the word. The word of God is a seed, right? Small thing. Your faith is a grain of mustard seed, right? So small thing. Well, another scripture says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. So that means the enemy use small deception too. He ain't gonna come in. Ah, they say he looks like an angel of light. So he gonna come in, or he gonna try to use things that you think are the thing against you. So you gotta be mindful. That's why you have to be keen in the spirit. All right. So now the subtlety. So it's a simple thing, and it's a simple switch that you're gonna make tonight. It's a simple switch you're gonna make tonight that's gonna make a big impact in your life. It's gonna be a simple switch to make a large impact. All right, remember, your harvest is always greater than your seed. You plant an apple seed, you get a whole tree and apples with more seeds in those apples. Over and above, exceeding abundantly above, right? Ask a thing, what you expected. So now it's a small switch that you're going to make. I know y'all ready for what I'm saying. It's a small switch that you're going to make. You're not going to take long. Small switch that you're going to make that's going to change your revelation intake. We get revelation, but we can stand to have some more. We'll get revelation, but we can stand to have more clarity in it. You remember the man? I don't know if I talked about him last week. Remember the man that was a blind man? Jesus laid hands on him. I'm about to show y'all something. Remember Jesus? I'm excited, y'all. Let me tell you why I'm so excited, because I just learned it. No. Listen, no, I'm not lying. Listen to me. Two hours ago, for my last class, I said, what? Okay, I get it. All right, he, the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something about him? The Holy Spirit, when I pray before I do a message, I always say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you as a true presence in my life. I acknowledge you as you're there and you're ready to speak to me at any given time. Now, I don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit when I need an answer. Huh? I don't acknowledge him when something comes up. I acknowledge him all the time. I'm for him. Whatever he wants to do, that's what I want to do. So my perspective, my perception is turned towards his will at all times. What is it that you want done? That's what I'm looking for. I don't just do that on Sundays when it's time to get spiritual. On Wednesday night Bible study, when I got to go preach. It's not, you don't get ready for preaching. Can I tell you something? You don't get ready for preaching. I'm still going to the thing. But you don't get ready to preach. You don't get to studying when it's time, when you up Wednesday. So now I'm going to study hard on Tuesday. Y'all know crammers. Me and Ronald in school together. I was a terrible crammer. When I was at LSU, I knew I should have been studying from the day one that they told me, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. So we got final exams. We up all night. And I don't know why I thought my mind could do that. Why I really thought I was going to have some answers. There's no cramming with the word of God. Now you can cram, but you'll never get what you're supposed to get out of it. But if you could, the Bible talks about, he always says, now Joshua 1:8 says, read it real quick. Read it, y'all there? Joshua 1:8, read it. Ready, read. I know I'm going fast. Hold on. Get there. Come on, get there. I'm going to take your time. I'm going to this class. I want to make sure everybody see it. And I know I'm going fast because Joshua 1 and 8. You ready? Ready to read. How long you meditate? How long?
Day and night.
Then keep reading. After day and night. All that's written therein. For what happens? There's a consistency that is needed. That's talking about being consistent. That's talking about, Jesus kept on saying, if you keep my commandments, or continue ye in my words. I don't have time to go to those scriptures. It's in the gospel. But continue ye in my word. Continue. Keep doing this. Continue. There's two things. There's two things. The Holy Spirit told me this today. Earlier today. Today's been a good day. I'm trying to make every day like this. Be it into your car, into your faith. You want massive amounts of revelation? Give massive amounts of attention. What measure you meet? Measure it to you. Now, I'm going to show you about your measure in a minute, too, boy. That's powerful. Listen, he said two things. He won't be successful. I said, well, yeah, yes, Lord. There are two things that people have a problem with. Number one, they have a problem with getting wisdom. So they don't have wisdom for things. They don't have an answer for the thing that they need to be. They don't get wisdom. Now, we already know James 1 and 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it liberally and upbraideth not. He not going to hold nothing against you. He going to give it freely. And he not going to talk about you because you asking for wisdom. So that solved that problem. All right. Then this next one, he says wisdom, but then being consistent with the wisdom that they're given. Meditate. How long? Mm-hmm. Consistency. Everybody say consistency. So then that consistency turns into a eternal circle of a flow with the things of God. Because you're wisdom, then you're consistent with the wisdom, and then you're consistent with wisdom. Consistently getting wisdom. You see? You see the circle? And before you know it, everything you do will prosper. That's what that's talking about. Can you imagine? Wow, Jesus. Can you imagine everything you're doing prospering? That happens with that constant flow. That's powerful, man. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Everybody say, thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on, say it again. Say, thank you, Holy Ghost. Remember to thank him when he give you something, because he'll give you more. Boy, he'll appreciate that. It's just constant. So then I'll make our way prosperous. Then I'll have good success. That's that. So wisdom and consistency. But you keep going around that circle. You don't need nothing else. All right? Just keep going around that circle, all right? When you take care of those things and everything about you and around you and in you is taken care of. Yes. Yes. You can do Psalm chapter 1 with that. Joshua 1, 8, Psalm chapter 1. You just read day and night. I love your law. So I'm in there day and night. So now I don't cram to get a message. I got a message. I keep a message. All right, let me speak from my personal life. I've just been trained this way, that I gotta keep a message, cause I don't know when a pastor's gonna call me and say, you got it tonight. Listen to me, y'all don't understand it, right? Amen. Listen, it's church start at 7:00. He called you at 4:30. Hey, this is so simple. He be so calm. I'd be like, why are you so calm? He's so calm. He say, you got it tonight. All right, click. He actually got a word or nothing. You better have a word. We ain't got no time to go get ready. Five had all, five didn't. We thought that was about going to heaven. No, it's talking about being ready when the Lord comes to use you. When he comes to get you and take you in a deeper place, you better be oiled up already. Are y'all with me? So simple things. Everybody say simple things. Come on, say simple things. And there's a way. The scripture says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Well, we know that that's not talking about. It could be talking about this, but most of the time it's not talking about physical death like 6 feet under, but it's just saying no fruit. Remember Jesus cursed that fig tree? Because it was dead already. He just told it what it was because it had no fruit. So sometimes things in your life aren't bearing fruit. They're dead. Sometimes if there's dead in your life, then let's trace it back to your way. The way that you made. The way that you made outside of him. Let's trace it there. So there's a way. So, but you know what's powerful about that scripture? The way seems right. That's what's powerful. That's the tricky part. Ain't it? That's the tricky part. Like, it ain't like you just then went away from God. You just ain't approaching him right. Everybody say next level. I'm going to say it again. Say next level.
Next level.
There's some milk, but then they got meat. There's some next levels. Everybody say next level.
Next level.
See, we can, I'm going to show you next level. You ready? Next level is there's good and acceptable, but then there's perfect will of God. Everybody say next level.
Next level.
Now, for me, I want the perfect will of God, so I need to do whatever it takes to be in the perfect will of God. So that means I got to give some perfect attention. Perfection, remember, it has everything with purpose and maturity. Remember that. Perfect and flawless are two different words. Stop using perfect in the sentence in the place of flawless. You're not going to ever be flawless.
Right.
But I know herein is our love made perfect.
Right.
You can be perfected in Christ
right, for
the perfecting of the saints. Maturity. Everybody say maturity.
Maturity.
Everybody say purpose.
Perfect.
So now, maturity and purpose. All right, y'all with me? All right, so I don't want to miss this point. All right, but there's a the way seems right. It looks like it's the way, and it's not. It's not wayward. It's not that you ain't picking up your Bible. All right, but have you ever picked up your Bible and didn't get no revelation? By a show of hands, come on, so we can admit. First rule is admitting. All right. Have you ever read a lot, but you didn't get the answer that you needed? But you read a lot. Yeah, come on, Ellie. Like, you read a lot of chapters. I read the whole Psalms. All of them. Pick one. I read them all. But you didn't get it. Because there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is no fruit. So that means that there can be a way that we're doing things that's not yielding the level of fruit. Now, what God does is this. God loves us more than we understand. It's going to take your whole life to meditate the love of God to even scratch the surface. He loves you more than you know. And so what God does is this. God is always trying to promote you and perfect you and take you to the next level. But sometimes we don't quite walk up the steps like we should. We don't quite study like we should. We cram. We don't quite take the test right. Amen. Amen. Thank God for grace and mercy. Everybody say thank you for grace and mercy. And so because of those things, God will still throw us a bone even though we was out the zone. He'll still throw us a little something. Or give us a little shower of anointing. Although what he really was expecting was more than that. He really wanted 100. But you know, 30 is better than zero. Right? God loves us that much. So he'll give us a little something. And if we don't pay attention to what's going on, we'll never see the way he's pushing us to. I'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. And I just have to walk you through how I found this. I had to walk you through how I found this. I'll be honest with you. I took a nap this afternoon. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't get up too much earlier than my first class. Sometimes God will get you when you're out your mind. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Because out your mind is where you need to be. Your mind, in your mind, is where the trouble at. In your mind is where the carnality is. In your mind. Now, you know, scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But see, in your mind is where the carnality is. Sometimes he catch you in that moment. And so I'm just kind of, I expect fresh things from the Holy Ghost. I always expect him to do something fresh. Like, I'm always looking for something. So the moment I open my eyes, the moment I'm looking for something. I mean, it's not, we don't have a study time. All day is study time. Two pigeons can fly across my car and I'm going to get a revelation. Two boards can be sitting in the yard, two just random pieces of wood in the yard, and I'm going to get a revelation. If I don't get one, I'm looking for one. There's a scripture about the prophet. There's an old prophet in the Bible, and one time the angel appeared inside the tent. Another time he appeared outside. So now he's sitting in the doorway like this. There's a doorway right here. He's in the doorway like this. I'm like a football player, right? He's sitting in the doorway, and I got my head on the swivel. They tell you that when you're playing football, keep your head on the swivel. I got my head on the swivel because I don't know where he's going to show up at. But I know when he show up, I won't see him. So I'm looking everywhere to see what you're trying to say to me. You know, God can speak to you. There's another book we did called Experiencing God. And we had this. This is a good book by Henry Blackaby. You just read it for your own personal time. But he said, you know, God can speak to you in several different ways. If you limit God to how he speaks to you, then God is limited in your life. Now, he's never limited himself. But according to you, he can be limited because you only allow him to speak in a certain way. God can speak to you through other people. God can speak to you through circumstances. God can speak to you through his word. He can speak to you through an audible voice. God can drop some rain out the sky and give you a message if you're paying attention. But I keep my head on the swivel. So I'm sitting there today and I'm going class in Ephesians 5. And so he starts showing me this. And some of y'all have read these chapters before. And before you come at me with your revelation, amen. Before you come at me with your revelation, just remember, right? Just remember that I have to approach it fresh. I have to approach it like I don't know nothing. The great Apostle Paul said, not as though I've already. All right, so we approach. So I'm reading the scripture. And I have to tell you, the revelation he gave me about the scripture, it goes back to finding Jesus and who we are in connection with Jesus and what he's really trying to do. But I started reading the scripture in Ephesians 5. It starts talking about, you know, he jumps up, be fathers of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor, right? And then he starts talking about fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and all these different things, right? And so you go on, and so you almost start talking about idolaters and the homemongers and all kinds of different stuff. So you start thinking, you know what this is talking about because you put it to your regular thinking. And then you get a little further, you start talking about verse 22. You say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband is unto the law, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, I'm just going through this for a reason. Even as Christ is the head of the church, he's savior of the body. Now, you think this is a marriage seminar. And so now, I'll teach you something real quick. All right? And this is going to be, before you take stuff and run with it, sit with it. It's meditation. Because you'll take it and run with it. My mom has this story she always tells about my older brother. And she said he was so anxious one time. We had some Kool-Aid or some juice or something. And he was a little boy. He was so anxious to get that red juice. You know, that little kid, right? He's so anxious that my mother's pouring out the picture. Out the picture she's pouring it in the cup. And she's not really paying attention. You know, you pour something, you could be looking away, then you go back. She looked back, she's pointed on the table because he took that little bit of corner that was in there and he gone because he was just so anxious to drink that he didn't get everything he should have got. So we didn't took the scripture. Why? Submit yourselves to your husband as under the law, for the husband is head. See, what you're supposed to be doing, woman, you're supposed to submit to me. Now you're all out of context. Listen to what I'm saying. And it gets deeper. It gets way deeper than that. This is not a marriage seminar. I'm just saying, can I take you on a trip? We said we're going to meditate together, right? I'm going to take you on a trip. Listen to me. So Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, so that the wives be unto their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church. And gave us, see, you're supposed to love me. Why you ain't loving me like you supposed? Now you run it. Because now, why you ain't love me like, I got a problem with that sentence. I got a problem with that statement. See, woman, you supposed to submit to me. I got a problem with that. Oh, you about to find yourself. I'm about to change your meditation world. See, you supposed to love me. Me. There's a problem in that sentence. It's small, though. Because it seems like it's okay. You supposed to love me. That don't sound like a bad statement, do it? That don't sound bad at all, do it? We've been saying it for years. Me. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Where am I at? Verse 20. Hold on, I didn't skip. Yeah, verse 20, 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious. This don't make no sense. What are you talking about? Are we talking about marriage? Are we talking about church? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what?
One.
How many flesh?
One.
How many?
One.
Then the next thing he said, but this is a great mystery. Y'all married, but y'all still two people. Ain't you? But spiritually, you're one flesh. You get it? But it's a mystery. Because how can we become one? He didn't say one spirit. It's a mystery. He said it. I said, but this is a great, not just a mystery, this is a great mystery. Read the next line, finish in verse 32. Say it again. Say it one more time. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, can I give you a gist of what's really going on here in this moment? Can I give you a gist of what's going on? Okay, are you ready? You ready for this? Really what's going on is Paul says, I need to talk to y'all about what's most important to y'all because y'all not paying attention to nothing else. So I'm going to talk to the thing that you're running after the most and then explain to you what you should be running after. Wow. Listen to me. But y'all so concerned about this. You so caught up with this. So, but I'm going to use it to show you how it's supposed to go. Because I speak concerning. So really what he's saying is, wives, the church, we are the church, right? The church is the bridegroom. And so wives, submit yourself to your, who is? Christ. So now he's telling us that we should remain, we don't have to worry about husband love your wife because Christ already loved it, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We already know there's love there because he died. Are you willing to die for him? Oh, you ready? That's a good statement, ain't it? Are you willing to die for him? Now, I don't need your blood because your blood ain't good enough. I don't need you to shed. I don't need any more shed blood. People are talking about the, you know, I don't know if y'all heard the stigmata and people talking about their hand bleeding. They got the marks of Jesus in their head stuff. I don't, what I need you to bleed for? Bravo. Now what? Price already been paid. We don't need another demonstration. It is already, it's already done. But are you willing to die? I'm talking about your meditation now. Are you willing to die? So I'm all right. This is what the Lord told me. You ready? This is what the Lord told me. The Lord says, as long as you meditate from a selfish perspective, you'll get a selfish revelation. Now that seems cool because revelation is better than no revelation, right? But is that the perfect will of God? Is that his best? We want God's best. But many times we approach the word to try to see what he's saying to me. But I have a problem with that sentence. I have a problem with that statement. Because it is not about. But don't we? So what we say, we think we deep. This is what we do. Lord, what you saying to me in this scripture? Right? And so you get you. Let me tell you something about you. When you ask, in that same book, Experiencing God, he made this statement. He said, this is deep, y'all. Listen, he made a statement. He said, stop asking God, what's your will for my life? Because the subject of that is my life. But it ain't about you. So now the court, okay, so you remember the Old Testament said, why were the former days greater than these? Then he said, but thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this, meaning you didn't ask the wrong question. So there's a possibility that, I know you have not because you asked not, but there's a possibility that you have the wrong thing because you asked the wrong thing? Because you have, what you say? You get what you asked for. Okay. So now, this is next level. Everybody say next level. Next level. Come on, everybody say next level. It's a little deeper than just picking up my Bible and reading now, right? And watch this. So now, I'm not asking God, what are you saying to me out of this scripture? No. God, what are you saying? All right, all right, let me go back. The guy said this. He said, stop asking God. See, the problem is we don't do extraordinary things and we never experience God in a high level or we never go to another level because we're still asking on the same level. We're still asking 1+1 questions when we're in Algebra 2 class. Are y'all with me? Everybody say next level. So here's where we go. So watch this. So now, he said, don't stop asking God, what's your will for my life? But that sounds like a great thing. Small foxes, spoil the vine. God loves us, so he'll drop us a little water on that question until we grow up and realize what we need to be asking. Until we grow up past ourselves. Ephesians 4 starts talking about, and we don't go there, but Ephesians 4 starts talking about until we grow up into him. It says, grow up into him in all things. That's like a boy grows up into a man. Like a boy right here, and then he grows up. You ever seen the little evolution things or the little, where they, The boy grows up into a man, but we ought to grow up into him. It talks about until we measure to the stature of the fullness of Christ, until what we are measures up to what Christ is. So he wants you to grow up. Everybody say grow up. So, you know, children are very selfish. Aren't they? You might find one that's going to give you a little piece of cookie every now and then. But the most part, they go in the mouth first. Right? Until they learn to share. Until they learn that it's not about. Get it? Until I learn that this whole thing is not just Montreal-centered. I'm just speaking for myself. This whole process is not all about you. When you get over you, this is when you receive more than you. The Holy Spirit told me this statement. He said, "When you stop trying to be what you aren't, you end up being more than what you are. You are not. Oh my God, you are not built to be self-centered." But you keep trying to be that way. Now listen to me. Hold on. Listen to me. Now I know let me fix your perspective. I'm not talking about self-centered like give me that seat. That's my seat. Now, I'm not talking about being belligerent or being mad. Sometimes we think self-centered or selfish is that. It's not necessarily that. You can be a nice person that'll move out the way and say, excuse me. And do all the quote unquote polite things, open the door, let the people go before you, and do all the polite things, but still be self-centered in your meditation. You're not built to be that way. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well. You have overcome them little children, because greater is he that is than he that is in the world. So that means the spirit of God, Jesus, is the spirit of Jesus on the inside of me. So that same became obedient unto death. Remember he said he was obedient even unto death? That same flow is in you. You're built that way. The Spirit of God is in you. When you were formed from the dust of the ground, he breathed into you his life and you became a living soul. You're made in his image. You're made in God's image. That means you're made to be a giver. You were born a giver. So stop asking. You're being something that you're not. When you stop being something that you're not, you'll be more than what you are. And I forget that statement now. He told me that last night. All right, now watch this. So stop asking God this is how he said it, and I'm gonna show you. He said, "You gotta watch me. Stop asking God what's your will for my life." He said, "Ask God simply what's your will, because that's what matters." My life is not my own, right? My life is really not the goal in all of this. It's really the whole picture. Are y'all with it? Yeah. Now, come on, ministry school. You got to understand that that's what it's about. It's not about your ministry, your church, your calling. What God called me to. I'm not saying don't use the word me no more in your life. Don't get over into the ditch, but the perspective, the understanding, it's good to know. It's not about. So I don't ask God what's your will for my life, because that's he's talking about my life. No, I ask God what's your will, because his will is bigger than my life.
Right, that's right.
So that's powerful. Anytime you inject yourself, you cause limitation to the will of God. Anytime you inject yourself, me, anytime you're limiting God for what he can do. So now I find out, I said, I don't ask God what's your will for my life. I say, God, what's your will? And I take myself and I inject it into his will. That's faith. Faith without works is. All right, so that means you got to do something. There is no harvest until you sow. You see what I'm saying? There is no answer until you ask. So you have to do something. So now it makes me operate in faith that I'm not trying to get him to bring everything over here. So what's your will? Now watch me. Look at me. What's your will? God, what's your will? And he set his will up, and then you take yourself and you inject yourself in the will. All right, so now let's go to this meditation. So we're no longer asking God. What are you trying to say to me out of this scripture? What are we asking? What are you trying to say? Simple. Not because you're not trying to say, God, what are you trying to say to me? God, what are you saying? It's much bigger now, huh? See, if you're stuck on you, it's limited. If you're stuck on you, you can only receive so much in you. But if you keep him out the box, which he already out the box, it's just your perspective, your perception. But now I say, God, what are you trying to say? Meditation. Everybody say meditation. I'm going to help you now. God, what are you saying? Say it.
God, what are you saying?
And then when I find out what he's saying, I inject myself into his word. And me and the word become one flesh. Listen to me. I find out what you're saying, God. Now I guarantee your revelation intake is going to change. Listen to me. I guarantee your revelation intake is going to change. Start tonight. I'm about to say start tomorrow. No, start tonight. You going to read the scripture? God, what you trying to say? All right, because you move self out the way. Because I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. You get it? So the process is the same. You got to give yourself. So now, what you trying to say? God, in the scripture, what are you saying? What are you saying? I don't care if you're saying it to me or whoever sitting next to me or whoever around me. I just want to know what you're saying. You get it? See, when we get off this self-motivated gospel and this self-initiated meditation, then we'll receive more revelation. So now remember, if I meditate with a selfish perspective, I receive a selfish revelation, right? But if I meditate with an unlimited perspective, it's not limited to me, then I get unlimited. But it seems small. Small fox, because it seemed a good question. Lord, what's you trying to say to me in this scripture? Now, question. Quick question. Was there anything you can do to receive the gift of righteousness? Huh? Was there anything you can do for it? No. Was there anything that you can do to receive grace? Ephesians 2 talking about it, it's freely given. It's not a works unless you're going to boast about it. So, to be honest, saying to me is irrelevant. You're wasting your breath. Because he's going to give it regardless. Like he's a giver. That's what he's built to be. And so, you don't have to add, Lord, what you're saying to me. Because when he's saying something, it's already to you. But the enemy let us throw that little thing in. Because it's a little snare and it keeps us limited. He mad right now. He is upset. I don't even care. He is upset right now because I caught you. Got you. So my focus is no longer me. So now this scripture, this is how it took me on that trail because I wouldn't start thinking, this is how marriage is supposed to be. No. I got the bigger picture. I realized that this wasn't really what about me. It's about the bigger picture. So now I understand that I should submit myself to Christ. You know what else I got out of that scripture? You want to go a little further? What else I got out of that scripture? Start talking about fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and whoremongers, all that, right? And we just take it so surface. So you start, you're self-centered again. So you think you're just talking about you fornicating. And by all means, don't fornicate, right? Like, I get that part. I get that part. But see, by all means, don't fornicate, but you can't do that on your own. You can't abstain from that on your own. You don't have the power to do it on your own. So you already need a bigger power to not commit adultery. You already need a bigger power to keep you from doing that, so you couldn't do it on your own anyway. So now this scripture is not self-centered. Because all this, I'm speaking concerning Christ in the church. So now when I say don't fornicate, what I'm saying is don't start nothing before you start with me. Come on now, come on. Don't you go try to make no baby without making a baby with me. Abraham made that mistake. Ishmael and Isaac. Huh? Adultery. So you know, in our feeble mind, we think it's all about us. So we don't even get the depth of what Christ is saying. So we think adultery is stepping out of your marriage, right? Like, you're stepping out of that. But see, what he's really saying is, you've made a covenant with me. So now, you don't go get your needs met outside of. You don't have no communication outside of. You don't get no understanding outside of. Because when you're outside of me, I heard a pastor say this one time, you're committing spiritual adultery. I found out who the whoremongers was. The whoremongers. You jump church. You jump church, you're hoeing. Y'all forgive me. That's what's going on. Or you're going from thing to thing to try to get whatever you know is supposed to be in your life. You're going from thing to thing, and you're not being committed. Anything outside of me is against the will. That's what Jesus said. Because I'm speaking concerning Christ. Now, okay, so well, what you saying, Montreal? I can't apply this to my marriage. Yeah, you apply this to your marriage, but you apply it on the deep side. Don't apply it on the surface side. Apply it on the deep side. Because you can try to take 22 and 27. You can try to take them and use them and not get verse 32. And 22 and 27 won't have no power because the power is in 32. The power is in Christ. So you say, well, I want to have better marriage, right? And I'm just joking because I know y'all seem to get right. Watch this. I understand that y'all need to communicate, right? But this is everything. But I understand y'all need to communicate. But the deeper communication is with Christ. If you decide to communicate with Christ, and you say, I'm going to communicate with Christ with all my heart, right? Then the communication, your language will change. And now it's Jesus talking to Jesus. Listen to me. Everything will change. You hear me? Everything will be different. All right, you ready? Meditation. Everybody say meditation. I'm going to teach you how to change your life. Listen to me. Here we go. Approach the scripture. You ready? I'm going to say the scripture, one of your favorite ones. You ready? And we don't put this stuff together, but Tom, it is more blessed to than to. Mm-hmm. So it's more blessed when you're giving. It's a blessing, but there's more blessed when you're giving. The scripture don't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Then it says, so that he can reap many souls. It just says he gave. I'm about to change the meditation. When you approach these scriptures, approach them, not from a receiving mentality, but from a giving. How are you, where are you pushing me to give? In all aspects of life. What are you pushing me to be more about somebody else other than myself? You know this thing is not about you. The first thing God going to deal with you as a minister is your self-centeredness. Actually, the first thing he deal with you as a Christian. But we have a disease of self-centeredness in mankind. Number one, ain't no poverty problem. Y'all know that, right? Ain't no hunger problem. For there to be a hunger problem means there had to be a shortage. There is no shortage. There's just some people that are hard more than what they should, and nobody wants to be a. Approach that from a giving mentality. Stop trying to see what he's trying to give you and start seeing what he's trying to give through you. If you ever become that kind of vessel, it's like there's a microphone. I'm going to say this when I'm gone. Microphones, when I use microphones, like a microphone, there's wires. They call them XLR wires. They call a female end and a male end, all right? But they're different. They're different. One you plug into and the other you plug you take it and plug into, right? But it's different. But, you know, if you don't have those sides connected right to the right side, then you won't get amplified. You'll never get sound out. You'll always be muffled if anything comes out. The you know, the microphone amplifies the sound. It makes it louder than what it is. Sound like grace to me. Sound like favor to me. Make me better than I am by myself. It amplifies your sound. But those connections, but if you got the wire. You got the wire. But you got to have the connection properly. You get it? And if I connect it properly, then I can get amplified. Now you'll be able to, there's no speakers in here, but you can hear my voice in a small room. All right, but if it was a larger room, had people sitting hundreds of feet away, then I need to be hooked up to an amplifier to be able to be heard in a larger span. Everybody wants great ministry. They said this, the rich young ruler came running to Jesus. We meditate. Can you see it in your mind? Everybody say imagination. He come running full speed. Lord, Lord. Master, what do I do? What do I do? I got to inherit eternal life. He started running to him. And Richard and Ruler had his stuff together a little bit. Because he said, did you do it? He started telling me the commandments. He said, I've done all these from my youth. You know, I got these, Jesus. And he thought Jesus going to be like, all right, you can come on with us. He probably supposed to be another disciple. He thought Jesus was going to be like, oh, you observed him from your youth? Well, praise God. Come on. No. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Next level. Everybody say next level. Next level. Come on, everybody say next level. Next level. All right, one thing you lacking. Sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. You know what he was doing? We get all so caught up with the things. You know what he was doing? He was getting rid of self. Because he was described as what? The rich young ruler. That was his description. So his identity was in that. So you need to give up your identity. They say he went away sad at that saying, for he had, well, we know the great possessions had him. He couldn't get rid of self. Jesus said, how hard is it for a rich man? How hard? And he says, it's harder than a camel into the eye of a needle. Y'all use needle. You ever seen a needle? Okay. So the disciples got distraught. They got nervous. Because they knew they had money. If you don't read the scripture, you won't know why they so nervous right now. Because they had paper. All right, see that? So you gotta read the scripture. And his Lord. Who gonna get in? Cause that mean ain't none of us going. He said, and Jesus said in so many words, calm down. Cause it ain't nobody. And I see something else now. He said, ain't nobody that's giving away mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and lands for my sake that won't receive a hundredfold return. All right? And now in this time. Well, I found out now that they had that money that they had. They got that because they had given up all. You remember Peter gave up his business to go follow. After they filled the ship up, he left the ship. That probably was the biggest intake he ever brought. And the day after he left and went. Who gonna get in there? He said, ain't nobody that didn't gave up everything. There's never been a time that somebody gave up everything and didn't get everything from me. Now in this time. So remember, what measure you meet, measured unto you. I got to go. Time up, huh? Listen to me. I'm gone. Because I get in trouble. Listen, 34, 64, 104. Right? You thought that was about what you're receiving? No, it's about what you're giving. Pray about it, it's going to hit you.